Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
It's another hour of the program, having a great time with you on this Christmas Eve. The show brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The phone number is 1-800-636-8686. I diverged from my normal approach, took, by my standards, a slew of calls in that first hour. I'm open to keeping that going. If you have something that will add to the program, emails, always, I think, your best bet, because you have a chance to organize your thoughts. It's RomanHaveATake.com. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Just one guest in this second hour of the show, because I decided to call an audible and take those phone calls. I did not have a chance to map out and clean up my detailed thoughts on the NBA's proposed in-season tournament, plus all of what's coming up tomorrow with the five games on the schedule. In lieu of that, I'll defer to somebody who really knows what he's talking about when it comes to the NBA. 40 minutes from now, we'll chat with Steve Kuyler from BasketballInsiders.com in 20 minutes, because I have the best in the business with me today, Adam Hawk, Alvin DeLauro, who put in countless hours assembling the year in review on Friday. Hope you enjoyed every minute of it. Well, that show was so comprehensive. A lot of great content does not make air, so Adam's going to join me for the director's cut version, the extended DVD. Think of it as the Godfather saga on cable in heavy rotation throughout the holidays, except for Godfather 3, because there's no reason to watch Sofia Coppola. We've been thinking a lot about how sometimes perception is reality, especially in the NFL. So, for example, primary focus of the first hour was Kirk Cousins' latest Monday night meltdown, and really was a surprise, because once you knew coming into the game that Dalvin Cook was unavailable, now if you've been paying attention, Cook has made that offense go, you figured at some point Cousins would implode. Took a while, and he got a lot of help from Green Bay with those three turnovers. Turnover set up the first and only touchdown pass thrown by Cousins. But when the game mattered and he had to make a play, he made a hideous decision, throwing directly into double coverage. So it's just too convenient. It's lazy radio to kick Kirk Cousins while he's down, because this is who he is. We have a large sample size now, an established body of work. And unfortunately, if you're a Viking fan, nothing is going to change, even though you have a solid defense, a collection of tremendous wide receivers, and a playmaking tight end. In a quarterback-driven league, especially with the cap implications of giving $84 million guaranteed to Cousins, you're stuck with this moving forward. And in the short term, yeah, Vikings are going to the playoffs, but if the matchup is, as the seedings currently are aligned, a road trip to New Orleans, it's going to be one and done, because that's going to feel like a Monday night to Cousins. Raucous atmosphere against a team that I think, as much as San Francisco has all of the key metrics, and we don't talk about San Francisco running the football enough because so many Jimmy Garoppolo fanboys want to point out his stellar win-loss record. The key to the Niners is their ability to punch you in the mouth and pile up all those rushing touchdowns. Well, San Francisco's been living dangerously last 4 weeks, coming down to games decided in the final 10 seconds. If you care about how I see the NFC, I think the Saints are the most dangerous team, because Drew Brees got that rest when he had the thumb injury, because Alvin Kamara finally came alive Sunday in Tennessee, because you can't guard Mike Thomas. Imagine if they had a complimentary receiver, and that defense is better than you think. But that'll all be sorted out on Sunday. Although in the NFC, we know the playoff teams. Now it's just a matter of how they are positioned. After the games go final, and in fact, when we think about the 8 early games followed by the 7 late games, in the midst of that late window, we may receive word that, for example, there's been a coaching change in Cleveland. It's all about Black Monday, and Grant Napier will be filling in on Monday and he'll give you his perspective on the coaching moves. One name you're not going to hear that is on the verge of losing his job, if you believe in the vote of confidence that he received from ownership, is Adam Gase. Because we heard it a few weeks ago, the coach who probably is best known for whatever was going on at that introductory press conference, and I understand that, especially as a fill-in host, you got to follow the protocol of this program. Personal appearance is not show fodder. But if I say Adam Gase, if this was a simulcast day, cue up the B-roll, and I don't know if he needed to see an ophthalmologist or he just had a bad day. Something was amiss. Sandy Duncan and Sammy Davis Jr. think those Manson lamps were a bit scary. That's what Gase basically is known for. That and his relationship with Peyton Manning. But it's pretty clear when this quote-unquote quarterback whisperer is not working with Peyton, he's just another guy better suited to be a coordinator. Flamed out in Miami. Jets, although they played better on Sunday beating the Steelers, but if you can't beat a combination of an injured Mason Rudolph and Devlin Duck Hodges, you have problems. Still, Jets on their way to another losing season, but Gase apparently is unfazed because he has a lot of confidence. He's keeping that job, and because, according to today's New York Daily News, and I grew up in the suburbs of New York City, as you might detect from the sensibility and how I pronounce some words, but the few things I miss about New York are sports-related. One of them, the tabloid war between the Daily News and the New York Post, because they find nuggets like this one. And let me credit Manish Mehta, very fine Jet beat writer from the New York Daily News, because there's just too much stealing in our business. Let's give Manish attribution for this nugget. According to his sources, Gase does not care at all about how he's perceived, and the notion is he's aloof and a bit dictatorial. And he doesn't care about criticism he's getting from fed-up Jet fans because, even though it's another losing season for Gangrene, and the team's issues are connected to some failures in leadership, according to this story in the New York Daily News, anytime a problem comes up that is directed to the head coach, Adam Gase, he has a simple response, quote, "I'm rich as blank." Alvin, can we play the match game? We should have worked this out during rehearsal. Dumb Donald was so dumb. How dumb was he? I'm rich as blank. Richard Dawson. Charles Nelson Reilly. Oh. J.P. Morgan. I'm rich as blank. You can figure out what he's talking about there. Sort of a Dave Chappelle idea. That's going to play well in New York. That's what I miss about not living in New York. Not the people, not the weather, not the cost of living. Sports Talk Radio, of course, you can listen online, radio.com, and just a group of fed-up Jet fans who've been waiting since, what, 1969? I was born in 1969. I know it sounds a lot older most days. Okay, Boomer. If I say Jet quarterbacking, other than Joe Namath, who's the second greatest quarterback in the history of the Jets? The answer is probably Chad Pennington. That's all you need to know. The judges would have also accepted Ken O'Brien. And don't give me Mark Sanchez, although he was under center for back-to-back AFC championship games. So, Jet fans, new decade, new outlook, same delusional, unself-aware head coach. Adam Gase is the gift that keeps on giving. But he's going to survive somehow. My guy, Matt Patricia, and I'm breaking all the rules today. There are no rules as the fill-in host. If you don't care enough to trim that Grizzly Adams beard just a little bit, just to give me a hint that you want to be a head coach, how can I take you seriously? But it's the Lions, and he's going to skate according to ownership. because they don't want to go through another round of change. Well, how about this? Jim Caldwell never should have lost the job, but GM Bob Quinn, with his Patriots connection, wanted another beat-up, lame branch of the Belichick tree, and that's what you got in Detroit. And you could tell me that they had a lead in all the games before Matt Patricia saw Matthew Stafford go down. Who cares? It's the Lions. They have become more relevant than the Cleveland Browns. We don't even talk about how bad the Lions are. Lions haven't won a championship since 1957. But let's stay the course with a guy who seems most focused on proving he's a fake tough guy by having his players practice outdoors in December in Michigan and berating reporters about their posture.
Do me a favor, just kind of sit up and just like have a little respect for the process. Every day you come in and ask me questions and you just kind of like, you know, give me this. But I mean, like, just be a little respectful. I'm asking to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay?
That's your head coach of the Detroit Lions. Matt Patricia is coming back. So Gase is coming back. He seems like a magnanimous fella. Patricia is keeping his job. At last, Jason Garrett will be gone. I don't need to jump on that national punching bag because you know all the failings in Big D. And the ratings were sensational once more for that game between the Eagles and the Cowboys. In a coaching sense, it was a dereliction of duty not to give the football to Ezekiel Elliott. I have no idea what the Cowboys are thinking. I think more to the point, they're not. So it'll come down to Jerry Jones picking up another puppet. Pat Shurmur, is he going to survive? Maybe, because the Giants are reluctant to make a change, and they had to with Ben McAdoo because he had the gall to bench Eli Manning. Right decision, he just butchered how he did it. Maybe Shurmur survives for another year because Daniel Jones had the 5 touchdown passes of the meaningless game against Washington on Sunday, and perhaps he can, along with his GM, Dave Gettleman, sell the ownership. We're the right guys to coach up this young talent. I'm not buying it, but we know the Mara family ultimately has the say along with the Tishes. Feels like Shurmur might buy himself another year. We're overdue for a coaching change in Atlanta. Now, if you want to go old school, just talk about 28-3 in the third quarter in the Super Bowl. But since then, the Falcons have been stuck in neutral. And yeah, Dan Quinn seems like a nice fella. Standing next to him at a press conference at the Combine, he is cordial. But you got to win some games in this league. And yes, the Falcons are showing a little bit of gusto down the stretch. But it's a team that at this point has to make a change. And sometimes you just have to zig a little bit when you've been zagging and getting terrible results just to prove to your fans that you give a damn about winning. And to echo that sentiment, what about the LA Chargers? Show me your lightning bolt. They should have left that in San Diego with the name. I can name that tune. I got that in 2 notes. We're doing all of the 70s and 80s game show trivia. Or I could just jump in. Carson, Superchargers. Did you even know this team existed unless you really care about the NFL? They have become so secondary in the nation's second largest market that the LA experience has been a complete and utter failure. So at a minimum, it's time to say goodbye to Anthony Lynn, if for no other reason that the Chargers are moving into a glittering Taj Mahal of football here in Southern California that they're renters in. What are you selling if you're the Chargers? More of the same? Inventing ways to lose football games? For the life of me, I still don't know how they lost that game against the Tennessee Titans. So if you're blowing out the coach, it's time to say goodbye to the quarterback, too. Phillip Rivers has overstayed his welcome, never even moved L.A. He's got a nice Ponderosa with his 45 kids in San Diego. He'll have more time, more kids than Alvin, apparently. It's a word on the street here in L.A. He'll have more time to be Father of the Year. But the Chargers, at this point, just to retain a shred of relevancy, have to go through a wholesale change. You need a new head coach, and you need a quarterback who's going to move the needle in a professional marketplace with eight teams. You throw in USC football when they're good, and that's been challenging. The Chargers are the 10th most attractive property in this marketplace, and I don't care who it is. Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater, you want to believe the Tom Brady pipe dream? Chargers need a massive change. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, RomanHaveATake.com. Open for business on Twitter. It's BW Weber. Weber with two B's. Open to taking more phone calls, but you got to hop aboard now because coming up in less than 20 minutes, we take you around the NBA with Steve Kuyler from BasketballInsiders.com. A tweet from a regular, the great Canadian hitman. Packer fans can gloat about beating Cousins, but we prefer to marry them instead. Signed, Kentucky.
You like that?
Happy holidays from all of us to all of you. Coming up, as promised, Friday was a special day here in the jungle. Year review. Adam Hawk is here, and he has some bonus content that did not make air. You got to stick around for that. Plus, might mix in some college football. The cavalcade of crappy bowls continues. And we have the national semifinals on Saturday when we get to the 18 playoff. Will it really be a holiday gift? I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. Thanks for sharing part of your Christmas Eve with us here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on this Christmas Eve. CBS Sports Radio, 1-800-636-8686. Tweet at me during or after the program. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. The NFL has dominated the conversation, but in 15 minutes, we'll get to the NBA because many of you haven't watched any regular season basketball so far. That's okay. Five games tomorrow, headlined by the Lakers and the Clippers in downtown L.A. We'll take you across the NBA when we check in with Steve Kuyler from BasketballInsiders.com. Half of my job, other than not burning down the studio as a fill-in host, is to live up to the forward promotion with the news that LeBron James and Anthony Davis will play tomorrow against the Clippers. So another reason potentially to watch that game, in addition to avoiding your relatives, because I'm convinced 99% of the viewership for these crappy bowl games, not derived from gambling, is people just killing time because they have time off during the holidays. Can you give me another reason why yesterday you were watching the Gasparilla Bowl? Anything can happen when Central Florida and Marshall get together. Although as a longtime viewer of the Gasparilla Bowl, I prefer the Trop era. Playing in a dump of a stadium in St. Pete in front of 14 people. But I'm wrong here, and the audience is never wrong. In a world in which you have more options than ever, that's one of the rating challenges the NBA faces. It's a 10,000 channel universe. Somehow, these bowl games still get a number. I'm not talking about the national semifinals, and they're coming up on Saturday. I'm talking about these games that if the teams matched up on a college football Saturday, you would never watch a game between Central Florida and Marshall. But because it's the holidays, because we're all looking to kill time or get away from our families, football's on, and it's a refuge. Speaking of a man getting away from his family, let's bring in the executive producer of this program, Adam Hawk. If you resent me filling in for Jim, blame Adam Hawk, because we are friends, even though we do the professional wrestling shtick, and I am classy Freddie Blassie. And Adam, you've never heard of him, right?
No, I've heard of one wrestler. His name is Carl Anderson.
Oh, okay.
The Good Brother.
Thank you, Good Brother. Yes.
Make it two wrestlers, Luke freaking Gallows.
Okay.
Too Sweet.
Too
the
Sweet.
The OC, the original, the only club that matters. Those are the two wrestlers I've heard of.
But you know, all my references are from 1985, so I'm giving you another old school perspective. Here is why I think you came to work today. One, you didn't read the schedule. You didn't know I was here. You thought it was the Sklar Brothers again. Two, you've had enough of your family. And you'll see plenty of them. You're a great husband and a great dad. I'm going to die alone in my studio apartment. I'm living vicariously through you. But you didn't have to be here today, especially given all the work you and Alvin and Garrett and the rest of the staff did leading up to the annual highlight on Friday, the year in review. Great job as always. And as a longtime clone, if I mention, I've been listening to the show for 20 years, it's a highlight. I think it's the second biggest day of the year other than the Smack Off, and I thought it was phenomenal on Friday.
Thank you. I know how much you personally love that show. I know how much the clones love that show. Jim did a fantastic job, as he always does, hosting that show. What we mentioned when we were about to air the show is that so much of it hits the cutting room floor. So on Thursday, for the first time ever, we started playing sound ahead of time that we knew wasn't going to make the air on Friday, and we still have stuff left over. So this is like Thanksgiving, going back into the fridge, firing up a sandwich, throwing some gravy on, microwaving it on the white bread, hit a little open face sandwich, watch some football. So I got some more sound for you if you would like to hear some stuff that didn't make it to air on Friday.
All right, you've talked me into it because, you know, for every hour I'm on the air, I put in 18 hours of show prep. I have 7 hours worth of strong opinions on this proposed in-season NBA tournament. But because we're friends and because my brain still operates, what you have to offer is far more compelling. Where would you like to start?
All of the stuff I have is better than what you have,
Thank
Brian.
You, sir. Thank you. Why are you not sitting in this chair, then?
Let's start in June with one of the best callers to this program, one of my favorites, one of everybody's favorites, Slash in Brentwood, checking in June.
Congrats on the silver anniversary. I know there's a golden ticket sitting there, just like a pair of prescription glasses at Mezzaluna, and I'm here today to rip that ticket. Just like I ripped open the necks of Nicole and her boy toy Ron, I'm out.
That's not a good call. No.
That's a Slash staple right there to try to beat the buzzer, to try to beat Alvin. Slash and Brentwood, an homage to O.J. Simpson. Slash did not get that golden ticket, but this is a topical piece of sound because you might have seen last night on Twitter, the real O.J. Simpson won his fantasy football league.
I did see him. What was he wearing?
He was wearing a championship wrestling
Thank
belt.
Does O.J. know what wrestling means in the jungle?
I don't think he does. I hope he doesn't listen to the jungle. I can't believe we live in a world where O.J. Simpson is winning fantasy football leagues and he's not locked behind bars where there is no internet. It's just crazy. Like, I can't win my league, but O.J. Simpson can win his league and brag about it on social media.
What does that tell you? My favorite on Twitter is Hello World.
Yes, he starts with Hello Twitter World, and he always ends with saying.
Well, take care as well, because we know O.J. took care of at least two people, allegedly, that night in Brentwood.
Nothing alleged about it. Let's go on to June, a great caller. Mark in Boston, who didn't make it in for the Smack Off, but he came in a week later to put the rest of the jungle on notice.
I called this show for the first time during my brief stint in Boston, but I am Detroit-born and brought up in freaking Florida. I've got the blood of a scumbag, and I was raised by Florida Man. You want Florida Man clones? You got Florida Man. A dangerous mix. The guy who will burn down your whole neighborhood and then walk his pet alligator on a leash around the flames. Deal. He's here. You guys don't realize this. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. So 1 year from today, whenever it is, I am putting that crown on my head if I have to take a baseball bat to the person wearing it. Enjoy your last safe day in the jungle, boys.
Great call from Mark, calling a shot a year ahead of Smack Off 26, which was great. He didn't make the air for 25, but he came in and put the rest of the field on notice for 26, which I thought was a really, really awesome thing to do and a really good phone call.
A little scary, though. A little dark.
Yeah, but it's intimidating, and I'm all about the intimidation factor, so maybe Mark gets his first one next summer. And then a couple months later in October, this will be the last one we play for you, Brian, one of the most polarizing callers to the jungle ever, Jeff in Richmond.
Jim, if you'll indulge me for a brief moment, I want to give a shout-out, Jim, to all the SoCal and NoCal Insta-skanks. Hey, skanks, do us all a favor. Stop digitally altering and enhancing your images on social media. Stop injecting massive amounts of collagen and Botox into your grills and your pie holes. Stop augmenting your racks 3 and 4 times to achieve, quote, perfect symmetry. And most importantly, Skank, stop laying down with every dude you meet just because he drives a slick sled and has a big roll of cake in his pocket. Jim, the bottom line is this. If you take a SoCal Skank that's an 8 in the great state of California and you drop her into the Commonwealth of Virginia, Jim, the 804, she immediately becomes a 3.
Great call.
He has been obsessed with skanks for the better part of 25 years. We don't use that word anymore, do we?
I don't know. I don't. But
I don't think
Jeff
do.
Does, and Jeff does what he wants. He's a legend, and that was a wonderful call. It was the first time I've ever heard anyone put up the women of Virginia versus the women of SoCal.
Right.
But it feeds into the bravado of Jeff from Richmond, and we're all thankful that he is now back in the jungle. More than he's ever been in the last decade. So it's great to have Jeff back and great to hear from Jeff many times this past year.
Did he ever have that lunch with Bob Costas?
I don't know, but Bob did call in about Jeff, which is just legendary.
That he was in Richmond.
And he saw Jeff at an airport.
Amongst his other duties, I might run into the legendary Jeff from Richmond.
Yes. So that was just some of what was left on the cutting room floor. It was a great show. And always an honor to work on it every year with Alvin and with Jim and with everybody else, and a fun show to bring to the clones, and one that you can catch for free in its entirety on the Daily Jungle podcast and also on Jim's website, jimrome.com.
Outstanding. That was time well spent. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. I'm going to have to get to, at some point, we might have to skip commercials, really thermonuclear takes about this in-season NBA tournament idea. It's not even going to be this year, next year. We're talking the NBA's long-term vision. It's really all about trying to get you to care about the regular season. The idea would be the NBA officially would be admitting the current product is not good enough. We're going to blow up the basic fabric of this league going back to the late 1940s, and we're going to pay for effort. It's one of the questions I'll pose coming up. As we take you around the NBA with 5 games on the schedule and the news of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, both now scheduled to play for the Lakers. Adam Silver probably involved behind the scenes to make sure that game lived up to the hype on national TV against the Clippers, although it would be very Kawhi just not to play because he does what he wants to, and you can't quibble with the results going to and winning that title a year ago for Toronto. We'll get you ready for the games. Plus, based on what happened last week, is the Greek Freak already the king of hoops? Our conversation with Steve Kuyler from BasketballInsiders.com is straight ahead. But first, let's get you a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show. With guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
We roll on this Christmas Eve. Thank you for sharing part of the holiday week with us. The phone number is 1-800-636-8686. Twitter handle is BW Weber. Business end of this hour of the program. Looking ahead to the final hour of the show, we'll get back to the NFL once more. Kirk Cousins not ready for primetime. Plus, what will the return of Beast Mode really mean for the Seahawks? That's coming up, but Christmas Day will be dominated by the NBA with 5 games coming up. So let's bring in one of the best in our industry. It's my friend Steve Kuyler from BasketballInsiders.com. Steve, happy holidays. How are you?
I am well, B. Always good to talk to you, especially in the jungle.
I appreciate you taking the time. Let's start with the best matchup tomorrow, the Battle of L.A., Lakers and Clippers. As you know, I'm here in Southern California, where Laker fans seem extremely proud of their 24-6 record to start the season. So, Steve, let me pose it this way. If LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who thankfully are going to play tomorrow, had missed as many games for the Lakers as Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have for the Clippers, what projection would you have for the Lakers' record?
Well, look, I think any time you're missing one of your best players, you now, you know, move yourself to the 50-50 equation, right? You'll win half the games you play. So, you know, all of those games against teams that have winning records, those the teams that look like playoff teams, you're probably splitting those. You're probably splitting your home games. So you're probably not sitting at 6 losses. You're probably sitting at maybe 10 or 12. But here's the great part of that that word problem. That's not where the Lakers are sitting, and that's why the Lakers could end up, you know, having an advantage in terms of home court when we start the playoffs. And, you know, home court does matter. So, you know, some of these games early in November when these teams get out to a slow start or, you know, missing players early, where they go down for, you know, five, six game stretches, those are the ones that are going to be the difference between first or second seed in your conference and maybe seven or eight in your conference. So, you know, those are meaningful things now in terms of injuries, especially in an NBA where nobody plays 82 games. You know, if you're missing a guy for 12 games, that's going to be a lot.
Steve, I'm not a fan of load management because I think it cheats the fans, but I understand the logic. Certainly worked for Kawhi last year in Toronto. Do you think pretty clearly LeBron was taking a shot at Kawhi and the Clippers when James said last week he plays every night when he can because he's a competitor and he owes it to the fans?
Yeah, you know, I think, one, if Kawhi could play every game and was 100% healthy, I think he would play every game. But he's still dealing, you know, with a quad tendon issue. I think he's going to deal with it for the rest of his career. I don't think it's ever going to go away. And I think that, you know, knowing that, you know, it's kind of like if you remember Danny Granger had a knee problem. You had to book in 10 games that he was going to miss because his knee was never going to be right. And, you know, I think some of load management for guys that have real chronic medical issues is a necessity. But when we're resting very healthy players that have nothing but just maybe some miles on them, you know, that's where I agree with you. I think you're cheating fans. But I think Kawhi, more than anyone, some of this is just he's not able to play 82 games. And I think if LeBron were dealing with the same issues, he'd take some games off too. But LeBron's also part of an era that's very different where, you know, you wore the 82-game Ironman badge on your chest and you measured yourself by how many games you played. It no longer matters in terms of how your team views you. More importantly, how your paycheck is constructed. If you miss 10 games a season, you know, teams are still willing to kind of go all in on guys that they know they're going to have to rest, which makes what you do with the next part of your roster so important.
Getting you set for the NBA on Christmas Day with Steve Kuyler from BasketballInsiders.com. Steve, how do you think the transition for Kawhi has gone to the Clippers? And physically, how does he look to you? He looks a little thicker to me. Is that by design this year?
Well, he does, you know, and I think some of that is home cooking, right? You know, you've got a few more zeros in your paycheck than you had last year, and you're around friends and family, and you're going out, and L.A. is a great place to have a meal, so I think there's some of that. Also, it's medical and training, and it's you know, he's had an off season where he wasn't kind of rehabbing all the time, and that allows you to work on different parts of your body. I think he's looked great. I think the transition's been great. You know, Doc Rivers talks about it all the time, that he's probably one of the easiest players he's ever had to coach because he doesn't have to motivate them. He'll play whatever role you ask him to play. Whatever the designed play is, he's smart enough to play off of it, and he can create for himself and very easily will create for others. And I think you've seen it now both in Toronto and with the Clippers that, you know, he's a special talent, and I think it makes it easy because he's willing to let almost anything work around him.
Steve Kuyler, BasketballInsiders.com, is our guest. Brian Wibber, in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Steve, I'm sure the league would love to have the ability to flex the Warriors out of their slot on network TV tomorrow, given how the team has fallen apart because of injuries. So let's talk about the Rockets. It feels like Russell Westbrook and James Harden are having a great time together, but how do you think it's working on the floor?
Well, on the floor, it's a little bit of a mixed bag, and I think we've seen it when they've been on the road or they play, you know, two games in three nights, that they just don't have that next part. You know, James Harden's capable of giving you 50 any given night, and Russ is going to be Russ, and you know that. You've got constant. It's that third guy. You know, the Eric Gordon situation's tough. You know, Clint Capella has been ho-hum. Sometimes he has a good game, sometimes he doesn't. They just don't have the third guy. And, you know, in a league where you really need a third option, it's got to be James Harden for 60 or you lose the basketball game. And that's something that Daryl Morey and the Rockets are going to have to figure out as we get into the trade season. What can they do to add another guy to that roster? You know, they've been trying, they've been looking, they're certainly active, but I think the Rockets are still one guy away, and I don't think they believed they were one guy away when they started the season.
Let's pivot to the big three in Philadelphia, if you think they have a legit big three, getting set to take on the Bucks tomorrow. So Ben Simmons finally hitting a few threes. We know that Joel Embiid is transcendent. Is Tobias Harris enough for that team to have that troika you're talking about?
They've shown they do, but the problem is they haven't shown they do every night. You know, you still have Joel Embiid, who's a load management guy, and part of that is just where he's at in his body, and I think that's going to be a constant in his career, that he's not going to be able to play games, and he's going to have to be rested sometimes in back-to-back. Ben Simmons has been somewhat durable, but, you know, is he going to be that take over the game and give you 30 that Joel can give you? You know, and that becomes the problem. I think Tobias has proven now that he can be that steady, productive guy that'll fill up the stat sheet, but I don't know that he's the guy that pushes you over the top. That's Joel Embiid. So I think the Sixers go as Joel goes. If he's healthy, motivated, and really kind of locked in, they are a very special basketball team. But he's had some games where it's like, hey, where'd Joe go? You know, that's not a good look for them. When he's not a factor, neither are the Sixers.
Talking Hoops with Steve Kuyler from BasketballInsiders.com. Steve, we've seen the greatness of Milwaukee to start the year, already having that 18-game winning streak. Even better numbers for Giannis coming off the MVP season. But there are no perfect teams. What weaknesses does Milwaukee have, and where do they have to clean things up?
Well, I was thinking when you're a team that shoot for a championship, you've got to find depth. You've got to find as many really high-level veteran-type players. And that roster's good. You know, when you think about both Lopez's, when you think about, you know, there's just a lot there. You know, but again, I think shooting is a big thing. But they've figured out how to shoot the three really well. They defend as well as anybody. And you mentioned Giannis. You know, Giannis keeps getting better. His range continues to stretch out. He can now hit threes on a pretty good regularity. And he's a difference maker in terms of how quick he can get down the court on both ends. He's a threat to block you from behind. He's a threat to push out three dribbles and dunk on you. And that makes you a special team. And the fact that they're very unselfish, you know, they have a really good assist rate as a team. And they just move the basketball around. But, you know, what do they need to do to make sure they cement themselves? Hey, a third star wouldn't hurt, but they've got a pretty good roster as they stand.
Finally, we know the league is open-minded. They will tinker and experiment. Are you a fan of some of the concepts involving radical ideas? What's your view of the proposed in-season tournament?
Well, again, I don't know that anybody's going to care. You know, I like the idea of let's change it up because people don't care about game 36 and 46 in the regular season now. So why not try something new and see what it looks like? But I'm not sold anybody's going to care. If they are giving every player on the winning team $1 million bonus and a $1.5 million bonus to split among the coaches, you're going to get some people who are motivated for that. It may not be the Lakers that are the team that's motivated for that, but you will get some teams that maybe aren't playing for something that now have something to play for. So there's some interesting things there. I love the idea of reseeding the playoffs. I don't think it ever made sense to just start out of the gate round one with a reseeded playoff because you could end up with like a Portland-Memphis matchup that no one would watch on the East Coast. But when we get to games that matter, reseeding one through four, that's a really interesting thing. And I love the idea of a play-in game because there are some teams, especially when you kind of get into that murky middle of like any conference where you're going to be, you know, the 13th pick in the lottery. Getting into the playoffs could be the reason why a player wants to come and play for you, not only as a draft pick, but also maybe as a free agent. So that would be a way for some of those teams in the murky middle to kind of stand out without having to tank all the way to the bottom.
Steve, great information as always. We appreciate the insights. Happy holidays, and thanks for joining us today on CBS Sports Radio.
Merry Christmas, B. Anytime, my friend.
Thanks so much, Steve Kuyler. Check out his outstanding content, BasketballInsiders.com. I'm glad he went first because he echoed my view, essentially, and we'll talk about it in the final hour of the program as we get back to the NBA with the games coming up tomorrow. The NBA, if they move to this in-season tournament, would be conceding the current content is not good enough. No reason to watch these games, so we're going to blow the whole thing up. Coming up, back to the NFL. Another Monday night meltdown for Kirk Cousins. Plus, what will beast mode?